He spoke at Emory University in Atlanta about free speech and the war on terrorism. It runs nearly an hour.
And normally I don't even prepare notes for lectures. I just kind of co-occurring wing it because it usually works for me. But y'all on TV, C-SPAN's here. So I'm like trying to look like I'm a little more responsible than I actually am. So just bear with me. It's an honor for me to be here. Clearly, there's no shortage of things to talk about. You know, I'm always inclined to let the audience control where the discussion goes, because I'm not like Noam Chomsky. I'm not like a good lecturer. I just like to talk, so this is a little bit big for, normally what I just do is let people shout questions as I go. You don't even have to raise your hand, you just yell. I don't know if it's going to work now, and besides CNN, well, I mean not CNN, C-SPAN. Hell with CNN. I don't know if they'll be able to hear your question. We'll play it by ear, but you know, one thing about when I do lectures is I really never know what people want me to say, because I'm kind of in the journalism world but not really, and it's entertainment but not really because it's comics and nobody reads. You know, it's politics, it's all these different things, and it's always more interesting when you guys can sort of let me know where you want the conversation to go. So we'll play it by ear. Maybe what we'll do is just start the Q&A really early, so you guys can say what's on your mind. I'm 28 years old. Like you said, I graduated from the University of Maryland. The degree in Afro-American Studies and Social and Cultural Analysis. Started sort of conceptualizing this strip around 94. Started actually doing it in college. In 96, early 97. Got a contract by the end of 97. Strip launched in 160 newspapers on April 19th, 1999. And here I am today. Got to set the right tone. I am not a motivational speaker. I am not here to make you feel good about yourself or the world around you. I'm not the guy to stand here and say you can do it, because, you know, maybe you can't do it. That's the one thing. Two, I am not a black leader. Any of you expecting to get all riled up, get all excited, motivated to go out there and fight the man? It's just not me. We're going to keep the tones low. We're going to stay calm. We're just going to have a nice little casual discussion. Three, I am not a scholar. I watch C-SPAN and C-SPAN 2, and I see really, really smart people go on and on and on and on and on, and they say brilliant things, and I go, wow, I can't do that. So I'm not even going to try. I got one degree. And, you know, I was lucky to get that. So, you know, I'm a satirist. I draw cartoons. And I stand sort of looking at the world, just throwing out my opinions in a very sort of selfish and self-absorbed manner, because I can. And I can talk about who I want to talk about, and I get the last word 7 days a week. And, you know, People can try to talk back, but it never really works out for them. That's the great thing about satire. As Gary Trudeau once said, it's selfish and it's unfair, and that's what makes it great. It doesn't play by any rules. You know, I'm a professional smartass. And which, you know, it's a great and terrible thing. On the one hand, it's a very loud voice. The script is syndicated to, you know, something around 20 million people a day. It's a tremendous pressure. It's a tremendous responsibility. Even though I try to be as irresponsible as I can, the enormity of it is not lost on me. And even more so because we live in an age and an era where nobody's really saying anything. Nobody really wants to say what's actually going on. And, you know, hip-hop used to actually fill that void. You know, hip-hop music used to be that sort of uncompromising voice of young black America and, you know, to a certain degree, the political left. And that's no longer with us. I mean, I like Ludacris like everybody else, but... So, you know, I'm left in the somewhat unique position of having a voice that's perhaps a bit louder than it needs to be from a guy who's, you know, still in his 20s and doesn't have a graduate degree. I find myself in the position of having to talk with authority on things that I probably shouldn't be, because I don't have the experience or the academic background to be doing it responsibly, which actually doesn't stop me, but maybe it should. I have more opportunities to say something profound than I'll ever have profound things to say. But I got the job. So we're here on the eve of September 11th. How many of you have been watching the news over the past few days? Yeah, come on. You guys feeling better? Are they making you feel at ease, and are they working you through the pain? There's a great piece in The Onion that's up now about that whole idea of, you know, which network is going to save America. It used to be guys like Walter Cronkite, they just reported the news, but, you know, now we have Ashley Bamfield, or whatever her name is, and Katie Couric, and people who are so sympathetic and so unapologetically in support of our heroes, the New York City Police Department, the New York City Fire Department, and America, and our war on terrorism. And, you know, I've been watching this for several days straight. And, you know, I think they really understand. Like, what happened to those firemen was really sad and really tragic, but they're getting me to the point where I don't ever want to see another fireman again. I'm fireman out. And it's just another sort of, it's part of this sort of ongoing media fiasco that actually started the morning of the attacks, when I woke up and turned on the television. And I mean, I was in LA, so it was, you know, a few hours after it happened. And I'm looking at the towers burning. They had already come down, but I was looking at old footage. And, like, there's this really dramatic music playing. And there's this Attack on America logo that's already been designed. And it's got a little crosshair. And I'm thinking, when did y'all design this? This just happened. You got a logo. And it didn't look like it was rushed. It was nice. They had title graphics before and after they were going to break, but it was like a miniseries. And I'm watching this footage, and I'm watching, literally, I'm watching people jumping to their deaths, and there's this music, this John Williams style music sort of swelling underneath it. Like, who's in the control room? Like, yeah, we gotta sort of punch this up. We gotta figure out some way to get them into it. We need some music. Because it just doesn't have enough drama alone. And that just kind of struck me as odd. Like, it felt a little sort of disrespectful to me, apparently not to anybody else, because it just got worse from there. And instantly, the entire establishment of the news media just simultaneously decided to just abandon any notion of, you know, impartiality or lack of bias or any of that. They just all became cheerleaders to America, to the administration. They had the little flags, they had all the stuff. You know, I didn't want to see that. I was a little disappointed. I'm like, yeah, I don't care if you're a patriot. Quietly, I don't care if you're hurt. I want to know what's going on. You know, all of these dramatic displays of who's more emotional and who's more sad about what's going on. No, honey, you're an anchor. You know, report the news. That's your job. You know, like, just because everybody decides to be unprofessional at the same time doesn't make it right. So, and I'm like everybody else, you know. Well, maybe I'm not, because the first thing I thought of was, all right, I need to get in the car and drive to Mexico. Because I'm like, I'm calling friends, like, it's 2.5 hours to the Mexican border. We should probably leave now. Pack if you want. I got a two-seater, so I can only take one other person. Unfortunately, they were like, right after, as I'm literally having these planning discussions, they closed the borders down, so that was no longer an option. But you know, but it's a problem. The way the media handled September 11th, from the moment it happened to today, a year later, is a very serious problem. Because it really was a tremendous moment for America to reevaluate its place in the world. To really look back and say, wow, like, somebody's really mad. And I'm not saying you can't be angry, and I'm not saying you can't be hurt. I'm not saying, you know, as human beings, you can't feel that sense of, okay, we got to get these guys. That's natural. But let's not forget that this is the same media that basically said that, you know, Bush is an idiot. He's stupid. On September 10th, you could say Bush is dumb. And nobody would really get mad at you. I mean, they would say it in nice ways. They'd say, well, you know, Bush, he's a little inexperienced. But, you know, Powell and Cheney are smart. That Condoleezza Rice, boy, she's bright. Yeah. You know, if you're standing there and they're talking about how smart everyone around you is, they're calling you stupid. And suddenly, that's wrong. Suddenly, Bush is a great man. Why? Because, what, nearly 4,000 people died on his watch? That makes him a great man? His approval rating goes up to, what, 90% because thousands of people died? So what if, like, 10,000 people had died? Would it have been a 95%? And I found myself sitting and trying to figure out, okay, what exactly did this guy do that's making him popular? I mean, I saw when he sort of went out and talked to the firemen, And he was that dead or alive thing, and, you know, we're going to get him. And he was kind of going off the cuff, so he wasn't reading, so he wasn't stumbling over words. It's like, you know, just because you go for being functionally illiterate, to, you know, being able to string a couple of sentences together, doesn't really make you JFK. And everything changed, and you know what? Nothing shows you how cowardly the left is other than the response to September 11th. Suddenly, black people became rednecks. Black people were like, I love Bush, I hate Arabs. Yeah, get him. What the hell's the matter with you? Congress, the Democrats. You know, if Bush had gotten on television and said, I can link the Democratic Party to Al-Qaeda, they would have voted to bomb themselves.